AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Hour three. You guys know that that means I am joined by my friend, Casey Bubba, at BDM Trick on the Twitter machine. Casey, what's going on, buddy?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Just baseball starts in less than a week, which I'm pretty pumped on that. Weather's getting nicer. I don't know. It's just busy. It's all I know. It's chaos trying to get everything done, and football's cranking up. It's fun. Fun time of year, actually. Really fun.
It's a busy time of year, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're Deshaun Watson, because I think at this point, last week when we were recording, and you know, we record the show early, and last week we did even a day earlier because I had to go to the Tom Segura show. Thank you very much, Bub, for moving that around for me and being jealous of me. So, the thing that I had read before we recorded last was Deshaun Watson went to a massage therapist and asked for some stuff that was borderline inappropriate. That was what I had read. Now, even before this show came out, it wasn't just one person. It is now, what is the number up to? 14 that are actually in the lawsuit, with a couple others that have come forward and said inappropriate things, but they're not going to join the lawsuit or something.
Yeah, I think it's something like that, because I think I've heard of like 17 or something people altogether. Like, it's I'm with you. Like, last when we first talked about it, it sounded like he was just kind of a pervy Robert Kraft. Like,
okay, right.
But it's all he's doing. It gets way deeper than that. Like, way bad deeper. Like, he might not play football this season.
Yeah, I mean, this is a civil case, so, you know, it seems like it could be solved by money, and he does have, you know, Rusty Harden is his lawyer, he's gotten a lot of athletes out of a lot of trouble before, so, you know, nothing is, of course, set in stone, but this is going to be dicey to watch this, you know.
It's
going
to be dicey to see how he gets a second chance. Like, yeah. I know he might not be convicted, quote-unquote, guilty. But man,
if he settles,
it's like people said, it's like, okay, what if it's just 10% are actually telling the truth? That's still like two or three women. Like,
right.
This is like crazy.
Yeah. One is bad enough.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And I hate
with fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy to layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MacWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Cliche where there's smoke, there's fire, but there's a lot of smoke here. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some football in hour three here. We've been talking a lot about baseball, so we'll get into that in this league on the Sports Grid right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogdan Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BD Antrick on the Twitter. And it is a busy time of year, like Bubba said. So why don't you tell us where everyone can find your stuff and things on all of the interwebs, Bubba?
Like you said, Twitter at BD Antrick is the place to start. Benched with Bubba podcast, cranking those out quite a bit, trying to keep up with the ITO. It's tough to do, but trying to keep up. So doing two to three of those a week right now, depending on the schedule. Written content at rotoballer.com and fantasydegens.com. We'll have some DFS stuff coming up. You and me and Welsh doing stuff. I use some other stuff with Rotoballer and whatnot. There's going to be content for days. Like, literally, if you like baseball, BD and Trick on Twitter, and you'll have plenty of it. So join me there.
I'm so ready for baseball to start, man. Like, this is the stretch that I hate the most. Now, I love doing drafts, but I have drafts from
all the time.
Tonight, Saturday night, I've got two. That is my head-to-head and roto back-to-back. I've got ALNL on Sunday. I've got my home league on Monday. And then I've got the Champs League on Tuesday night. So I've got, you know, and this is what I say, you know, I wait for all my drafts until as close to the regular season as possible because all these injuries are happening late. Yeah. We'll get to those in a couple segments here. But we're talking about football. We're talking about Deshaun Watson and looks like he's in a little bit of trouble here. So I don't know. You know, look, someone asked in the ITL group me room today, is Deshaun Watson someone I can still trade for? Not like I should be actively shopping for him, but can I still trade for him? And my answer had to be yes, because NFL teams are still in on him right now. So, you know, from everything we've heard, you know, obviously things can change on a dime. And you know, if there's some other, you know, 10 other people come forward here, he's probably not going to want to be traded for in the few days between when we record this and it comes out. But right now, yeah, I mean, you can go get him on your fantasy team. I said you just have to make sure that you have a plan B solidified, you know. So is that your same opinion, or is this something that you're, you know, I mean, look, if Deshaun Watson did all the stuff, he's a total scumbag. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But, you know, it's hearsay right now. It's just the court of public opinion, not the court of the law right now. So it seems like he's probably a little shady either way. But that's a whole different discussion of drafting players that you can actually enjoy watching and not avoiding those that you can't. But, Is that the same type of advice that you would give out, Bub, or would you say, nah, let's just wait and see how this whole situation ends?
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page there. It's we've seen it time and time again. So, and I've heard people talk about it. If you're uncomfortable rostering people with bad pass, then yes, don't roster Deshaun Watson. You probably can't roster half the NFL, but that's just the way it's going to go. It's one of those, if you can put that to the side, which teach their own. He might not play this year. He's going to get suspended one way or another. For how long, we don't know. It's not. But if you can get him for pennies on the dollar or at least some kind of discount, I can't blame you for trying, because he's still going to be a darn good quarterback. So if you have a plan B in place, do it. And I would do it very quickly. But it's one of those that just be prepared that it could be a two-game suspension. It could be a season suspension. Just realize that going into it.
I mean, if he gets ugly, he could be done. So
yeah, he could be. It's just one of those. We know that if he does come back, even if it's after a full season, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in football. Right. And you got, and you have him on your team now. So it depends on how you want to look at that situation. That's for each person to dictate.
Right.
I think it's a very intriguing question because he is still that good of a football player. He's a horrible human being, but he's a very good football player. Look at Michael Vick. People didn't think he'd come back. He came back. People get second chances in the NFL.
Antonio Brown has an open rape case
And he just won a Super Bowl. So.
He just played in the Super Bowl. The court date keeps getting pushed back. Now it's in December of this year. So, and he played in the Super Bowl. So that, you know, NFL teams are willing to overlook a lot. You know, it just, any type of video comes out and you're cooked. You know, I mean, that's Kareem Hunt. You know, he had to miss a whole year. So, it's an ugly situation. Hopefully, it gets straightened out soon, and you know, we get to the bottom of it. And if Deshaun Watts did all this stuff, hopefully F's off and goes away forever. So
yeah, pay the price if you did the work.
Exactly. Now, a couple other signings this week, a bunch that I do not care for, Bubba. I don't like a lot of these signings. Joe Flacco to the Eagles. I mean, look, this guy is terrible, right? So he's not good anymore. He's an awful teammate. You can bring him in to want to, help your starting quarterback, but he has already said, he said in Baltimore, it's not my job for Lamar Jackson. He did the same stuff in Denver when they were talking about Drew Lock. He said, no, I'm concentrating on starting. So the guy's not good for the locker room. He's not a good player anymore. So I can't believe a team would sign him. This baffles me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't understand this one at all. We saw him last year with the Jets. That didn't work out. They just got rid of Carson Wentz in Philly, so why bring in a Joe Flacco? I know he's cheaper than Carson Wentz, but you didn't give away Wentz for free either. I don't get it at all. He's not going to help your future. There was discussions that were more interesting of, like, do the Eagles go and draft another quarterback to push Hurts? And I said, okay, well, that's intriguing. Flacco's not that guy. So this move makes no sense, and it seems like it's another bad Philadelphia move. It's weird, very weird.
Yeah, I don't understand Flacco getting work at all. I mean, Ryan Finley just got cut. I know Ryan Finley's not very good, but I'd much rather take a risk on a young guy
youth.
Like that.
Give me that youth. Because Flacco's not doing. He's not moving. He's not doing anything. Literally,
he's burned. He's done. You know,
it'd be one thing if he was willing to be a quality backup, but he's not willing to do that. You know that for a fact. He's a. I don't want to use the word, but he's a clubhouse problem. And it's just I don't get it at all.
Yeah, it made no sense to me. So that was the one quarterback move. But a lot of these running backs move, Bub, I despise. So let's just start with the first one that happened a while ago. But Philip Lindsay going to the Texans. Like, now they've got DJ. They've got Philip Lindsay. Why?
Ingram too.
Yeah, Mark Ingram. Yeah, look.
Hey, you discount him all you want. He's still in the way.
Very true. Very true. He's still going to get work. You're right about
that. We saw it in Baltimore. Like, he still shows up and gets asked J.K. Dobbins how this worked.
But I think Mark Ingram is a locker room guy. He's the complete opposite of Joe.
I can see that. And Houston needs that.
And their new head coach, his name escapes me right now, but he was with Baltimore. So we saw all that stuff going on with Ingram. So, like, I think Ingram was brought in to be a glue guy, to be a good clubhouse guy, which is, you know, look, the Texans did something right with that move, it felt like. But then bringing in Lindsay with David Johnson was just really confusing to me. They're obviously going to need some wideouts here soon, but I don't know.
They don't have a quarterback to throw to them, so who cares?
Right. Right now they don't have anything, so that's very, very true. So I don't know. How much does this hurt? Does this tank Philip Lindsay? Does this tank DJ for you? What do you do with this situation when you get into a draft? Is this something you're just trying to avoid like the plague?
For now, I'm avoiding like the plague. I need a lot more clarity on this one because I like DJ last year. I had DJ as like a RB2, RB3 on my fantasy teams. And when he's healthy, he's good, but that's DJ for one when he's healthy. And Lindsay, we know, has always been good when he has the role in Denver. But the last couple of years, it's been sketchy.
And so, he gets hurt a bunch too.
Yeah, it's one of those like... I don't know. Draft price will be interesting to see how the ADP starts to fluctuate early on because that'll dictate a lot. And I want to see, give me some coach speak or something because it's probably just avoid like the plague. But
but
we know in the NFL there's so many committees out there that there's value to be had. So it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, we're going more and more towards that, which is why I don't like a lot of these signings. I hated Marlon Mack going back to the Colts. You know, I think
yeah, that was horrible. That horrible
last week, but
leave JT alone.
Right, exactly. Chris Carson going back to the Seahawks. I didn't dislike this one, but it just seemed a little weird. It seemed like he really kind of wanted out of that situation, but they run the ball more than anybody else, and they don't have a backup. So looks like for fantasy, this is going to be a good move unless they decide to draft someone.
Yeah, I love it. I was happy they did it. I was worried he was going to go somewhere else. Great situation, great team, great system, and Russ needs to win. So rely on Carson, who was actually very good.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk more about some of these running back moves and some of these wide receiver moves. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogdan Sports, joined by Casey Bubba at The Entry. We're talking some football here. And we talked about Chris Carson going back. Let me tell you why that one was particularly weird. And I heard this on local radio here, but it was, you know, the Raiders obviously signed Kenyon Drake. And we don't know what the hell's going on there. And I just recently did in my NFL Draft War Room show, I just did running back. So a lot of this stuff happened right after I recorded it. So I was very annoyed with a lot of these signings. Kenyon Drake was before I recorded, but like Mike Davis, who we'll get to in a second, was after. So Kenyon Drake seems really weird because you already have your running back in Vegas. You have Josh Jacobs and you spent a first round pick on him and he's a stud. So you bring in Kenyon Drake, I guess, to be a straight backup, but you don't bring in a guy like Kenyon Drake.
Kenyon Drake's better.
Bring
in Tevin Coleman.
a straight backup. Right. Tevin Coleman would have been a smart signing there for sure. Yeah. So it was just weird to see it. I don't know if, I think this might have something to do with Kenyon Drake's just his viability because he's been banged up. He was banged up a bunch last year. He never really had the role in Miami. He only had it for four games in Arizona. So that was when he looked really good. So maybe it's just something more to do with Kenyon Drake's viability than it is Josh Jacobs. But the thing that I had heard on the radio, and I thought it was a smart rumor until Chris Carson re-signed with the Seahawks, it seemed like maybe they were signing Kenyon Drake because Josh Jacobs was going to be in a deal for Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, and then Josh Jacobs in that deal, and obviously a bunch of other pieces because we heard what the Bears offered that the Seahawks didn't take. So I don't know, but with Chris Carson re-signing with the Seahawks, now it makes no sense, and it kind of ruins. I mean, I'm not going to say it ruins because I'm not going to plummet Josh Jacobs because of this, but you do have to move him lower in everything. So, you know, redraft and dynasty and all that good stuff. So it's an annoying move. I found Tevin Coleman signing with the Jets to also be an annoying move, Bub, because this, to me, this might be it for them. This might be their move at running back. They might go with some young guys. Maybe they don't draft anyone. I think they should, but they have so many other holes to fill. I think a lot of this is going to, they have a lot of talent on that roster that's going to get coached up by Sala, and I'm really excited to see what he does there. But they have so many other spots to fill that if they ignore running back in the draft, Tevin Coleman might be the guy there. And that's the opposite of Kenyon Drake. That's not good enough to be a starter. That's the same stuff they have going on the last couple of years.
It's moves like this that remind us the Jets are the Jets. So it's, and this is coming from an AFC East guy. So you have to take that with your grain of salt. But it makes no sense. Tevin can't stay healthy. Like, we all know the ability that Tevin Coleman is, but when you can't even do it in the Niner system because you're not on the field enough, it just tells you you're not going to do it with the Jets. So then again, this is a Jets team that was having like Frank Gore and all, like, they just, talent evaluation is not.
I mean, they tried with Lev Bell and him and
Gase. That's Gase. Their problem. Gase is the problem to begin with.
Butted heads there. But I mean, I don't know. It is Who's better, Coleman or LaMichael Pirine?
I'd give Pirine a chance, at least with age.
I would give him a chance too, and I don't think he's
gonna stay healthy. I know Pirine isn't. Pirine's a good third down or occasional change of whatever. Like, I get it, but for an every down back, they don't have one.
Yeah, it's Ty Johnson and Josh Adams. You know that's the roster.
He's back to like horror stories of week 15 streaming.
Right.
so let's play Ty Johnson for $3,000 in DFS. No, do not light your money on fire.
Right, exactly. So that could be a frustrating situation. And this is the one that I despise the most out of all these. I actually like one of these most, but Damian Williams.
I know which one too.
Yeah, Damian Williams signing with the Bears is god awful because he's good enough to eat into Montgomery. Tariq Cohen's going to come back. So this turns into full RBBC, and I hate its guts, and I hate everything about it, Bubba, and I now despise Nagy. I hate him. Can't do it.
The ginger's going to love having three running backs.
I mean, three running backs.
Yeah, Damian
one
Williams.
Backup quarterback and a probably Hall of Fame level wide receiver in Allen Robinson if he could get a good quarterback. Like, just imagine, look at the trash that Allen Robinson has played with in his career. You know, it's Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles and now Andy Dalton. Like, come on, dude. Someone's got to give this guy a break.
Ogden is fired up, folks. Like, fired up. He is peaked. This is amazing.
I just see this, and it's just so frustrating. I think this Bears offense has a lot of talent. I think Allen Robinson is great. I think Montgomery's great. I think Cohen is a perfect second running back.
Damian Williams should have went to the Jets.
Right.
Or go to Miami.
Anywhere but the Bears to ruin David Montgomery. So I'm probably more upset because I do have a lot of – I'm invested in Montgomery. I've got a lot of keeper shares and stuff like that. So that's probably my more annoyance about that than anything else. But I did – the one running back signing I did like is Mike Davis going to Atlanta because they have – oh, I almost lost $100 right there. They don't have a lot on their roster right now as far as running backs go. You know, I think he proved himself last year in Carolina. He looked really good. You know, I think a guy like Mike Davis definitely needs a solid second. So, like, honestly, if they had signed Davis and Damian Williams, I'd have been like, okay, well, this is clearly Davis's job. But Damian Williams... could eat in there too, but they're probably going to split. Like, at least that would be an okay committee to me. But I love Mike Davis going here because he's going to get a lot of targets. There's going to be a lot underneath open for him. He can obviously pass block. So I think this is a real nice fit, but don't be surprised if Atlanta spends a pick on a running back too, because I don't know that Mike Davis is the long-term answer there.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I love the addition of Mike Davis. You only have a couple more years with Matt Ryan leading this weapon with Julio and Ridley and, you know, they have Hooper at tight end and everything. But getting Davis back there, you mentioned the pass catching abilities we saw. He's not Christian McCaffrey, but he filled the role pretty darn well. Like, he definitely didn't go full McCaffrey, but he filled it pretty well. And that'll translate well in this Atlanta offense, like you're saying. So you got to love that. And I do think that they will draft a running back. That wouldn't shock me. But now by getting a Davis, they don't have to go super early to get one. So I like that a lot.
How about Juju going back to the Steelers on the cheap deal? Had a higher offer from Baltimore and an offer from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how the Chiefs would have afforded him, but that's a whole other story.
Well, but I think the real reason he's back with Pittsburgh is because it was 1 year deals. And you're not going to prove yourself in Baltimore with Lamar.
No, not with 1 year, not a chance.
And if you go to Kansas City, you're the third.
You're sharing that football with way too many people.
Yeah, so I think that's really why I went back to Pittsburgh on a one-year prove-it deal. But when Ben comes off the books, probably next year, then the Steelers will be able to pay him. You think they can repair this relationship, or is this?
I wonder how that conversation went. Like, does he come in? Does he come in smiling to the office, going, "Hey, I'm signing and taking your money," or is there like hat in hand, going, "Hey, we got to make this work for two grown adults"? I would love to know how that. I just don't see him being that guy, but maybe there's more to his. You know, Twitch persona, but or his TikTok persona.
He's still 24, right? Like, there's guys coming.
Mistakes will be made. There's no doubt about that. But he burned a lot of bridges on the way out there to build them back that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't Antonio Brown himself, so no, at least no, there's no. at least there's a little meat on the bone there, but I found that interesting. I like T.Y. Hilton going back to the Colts.
Love that move. Love that move.
It's smart, you know, just a better quarterback too there.
That leadership, the whole cha-cha. Like, yeah, that's big.
I thought that was smart. And then a lot of these veterans moving teams. Obviously, Galladay going to the Giants. I know a lot of people were upset about this move, but I don't know. I feel like Galladay is kind of one of those guys that can play with any quarterback. But to be fair, in college he had Josh Allen. Or no, he didn't have Josh Allen. Why am I thinking that? I think because that game I watched against each other. But he had Matt Stafford his whole career. This is an Allen Robinson, right? So we'll see what he can do with Daniel Jones. I still think Daniel Jones is okay. So we'll see if he gets better. And then DeSean Jackson going to the Rams. I like that move a lot.
That's fun for a couple games.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely get hurt. I mean, that's what he's been doing.
He'll be fun when he's healthy, like, because you have Woods and Stafford. You have Woods and Kupp already. Now Jackson can extend the field for Stafford. That's going to be huge.
It's Stafford to DeSean Jackson, like the guy that can outthrow anybody to the guy that can outrun anyone.
Jackson's going to be an awesome GPP play from certain weeks of the season, like an amazing one.
Yeah, he's going to be a lot of fun. And then AJ Green going to the Cardinals, and there are some rumors here in the desert that this might be the signal that Larry Fitzgerald is going to go sign somewhere else.
It's the only thing that makes sense, right?
Tampa Bay is what people are thinking.
Oh, go figure. The retirement capital of the world. They all go there to get together and win a Super Bowl. Goodness gracious.
Right.
I don't blame him.
Like, I mean, he's been stuck. Look at some of the quarterbacks that Larry.
Think about it. Fitz with Brady. Brady would utilize him so well. He'd probably get like 4 to 5 catches a game, if not more. And he'll find the end zone like 10 times because it's just what Fitz does. Like, Brady would love him.
And then Steve Keim talking about AJ Green and like, I think he was third last year in the league in contested catches. Yeah, because he can't separate at all.
Did you see his air yards? His air yards were amazing.
Oh man. Like I AJ Green, like there could be a little gas left in the tank. This could be one of those things where he was still a little bit draggy last year and he can knock the rust off, but come on. Like, is anyone going to pay up for this dude again ever?
Just no preseason, please, because we need to keep those ankles intact for opening week.
Right. Yeah, we got to keep him healthy for sure. So we'll see what happens with that. Don't particularly care for that signing either. But a lot of moving and shaking and a lot of draft stuff. You know, Kyle Pitts ran a 4.46.
Rondell Moore, big man.
Rondell Moore, 5'7", had a 42-inch vert, and I think it was 4.39. So yeah. just a lot of buzz going on there. So I'll have a wide receiver show coming out next week as well. So be sure to check that out. But we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some baseball. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where we got all kinds of goodies for you. We've got GroupMe rooms. We've got secret shows. We're going to be doing Mystery Science Theater Draft 3000. In a couple days here and getting that posted up for you guys. So we're having a lot of fun over there. Our rankings, if you're doing your draft Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, leading up to the season, which is when you should be doing your draft, Bubba, right? Because all these guys, it seems like at the end of spring training, are getting banged up right now. And it sucks. Zach Gallen, of course, being the biggest one and having a hairline fracture in his arm from batting. The pitchforks and torches are going crazy about the DH not being in the National League.
NLDH.
I mean, Twitter was, I mean, I don't, is Twitter ever happy about something? Like, is there ever, You know, or is Twitter just like your old racist grandparent that's like, you know, yelling at everything? Like, obviously not, but it just seems miserable sometimes. No, like
it's a cesspool. I fully admit right. that it is a cesspool. I think it's more like your drunk uncle
okay.
who there's times where it's tons of fun. And there's times when he's really drunk and you like want to play Monopoly with him. It's a bad idea.
But then he says something kind of racist and the whole family gets mad at him.
The whole thing goes right. downhill. So he's a lot like the drunk uncle. Like it's like 30% good, 70% like just walk away.
Right. I mean, being able to, you know, be in touch with literally anyone around the world is amazing. And it's
and there's, you know, and there's a lot of great resources. Like, right. like sadly, when someone gets injured, we know about it right away now.
Yeah. Like there's a no lot, secrets a lot of on Twitter. So
no, and it doesn't disappear.
Ask Robert Kraft, he knows. So and
the internet does not forget. Ask Kevin Durant and his burner accounts.
Yeah. I do love that people they villainize Kevin Durant for getting upset about some tweets, but there's other things that a lot of these guys have done that are, you know, real life horrible things. Yep. And you know, they're either not good enough to remember, you know, remember the issue that they had, or people just don't care because it wasn't him getting his feelings hurt and making
exactly.
a burner account. I mean, burner account's pretty funny. Like I'm a Texas fan. I even got and I have to admit, like you gotta not be such a sensitive Sally, bro. Like, what?
If you're making millions of dollars, you need to sack up. Like, you're gonna get some ridicule. It's just that's part of the turf.
Yep. Yeah. If you're on television, yep. if you're in people's faces, someone's gonna say something negative and about
if,
you.
If you're sensitive, don't be on Twitter.
Right.
Seriously. I'll tell you that right now. You don't have to be. There's nothing in your contract that says, "Hey, you gotta interact. Just walk away."
So. Where do you value Zach Gallen now? Where does he need to drop to in drafts to where you feel comfortable taking him? We talked about this yesterday. We had Justin Mason and Paul Spohr from Sleeper in the Bust on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. We're talking about Gallen, and Paul pretty much said take him off the board. Mason had taken him in the eighth round of one of his NFBC drafts, was a little upset that he had taken him at eight. You know, I think he needs to probably go a little bit further down the line than that, but where can you take Gallen and feel comfortable with him, knowing that he's got, you know, a fractured arm right now?
Well, when Mason took him, we were still waiting for the second opinion.
Right.
So he didn't even know.
We didn't even know what the injury was at that point. Yeah. Right.
All he was like a sore, you know, forearm or something, which usually doesn't mean good things. But so in the eighth round at that point, he was usually like a 35th to 40th pick overall. Now you're getting him eighth round in a 15 teamer. That's a good discount if it's something minor.
It's like a pretty good deal, right? You're doubling the rounds on him. So
yeah, it's not bad. For me, he's not draft. I'm a Spohr on this one. I just when it comes to pitchers, so many pitchers get hurt. I'm not starting a draft with an injured pitcher. I'm just not. It's tough. His injury is 4 to 6 weeks, plus then he has to rehab afterwards. So let's just say 2 months. Now you're into June. So you're almost getting a half a season of Zach Gallen. If I have to give you a time to draft him, it's a bench player. So
is this more because he's hurt? Around. He's hurt going into the year,
yes.
And he's a pitcher, or just hurt going into the year and a baseball player?
He's hurt going into the year and a pitcher. Like,
okay,
I usually don't like hurt guys, period, but pitchers right. especially. I'm just not doing it because they're going to get hurt anyways, and this is a throwing arm and everything. So I'm not going to touch Zach Gallen in drafts. If you want to, I'd say. For me, post round 20, that maybe is too dramatic for people, but I want him to be on a bench for me. Now, if you have IL spots, that's intriguing. But a lot of leagues I play in don't have IL spots.
And, you know, most leagues that even do have them, like you play in a Yahoo league, your max is 5. I think they're basically.
Yeah, and you're going to use those for other people that might be worth it. So it's tough.
Right. So, and look, and honestly, Gallen would have been one of those guys that's worth it if he did this in season. But yeah. If you can avoid the headache before. Your draft, avoid the headache. You know, you can't be taking him in NFBC. You can't take him in pretty much any league that has no IL spots, like you mentioned, because you're burning a spot for what is probably at the minimum a month. You know,
yeah,
it's probably at the minimum a month. It's probably closer to 6 weeks to 8 weeks. You know, I always like when they tell me a month, I say, okay, that's 6 to 8. If they're back before that, fine, great. You made up some ground, but I don't want to do it. And I don't know that I'm totally with you. I think if he's there somewhere between round 12 and round 15 and I have IL spots, I think I would take him because I think the upside is still there. Now they did, and we've gotten a couple of these, which I do not like, but you know, it's the manager's discretion to talk about what they're going to do with their team. And obviously you're not going to get all the news immediately, but I don't like the fact that the Diamondbacks came out and said, well, we were going to limit his innings anyway. Like, really? Are you serious? Because I don't think you were. Especially
no, I don't think you were either.
Especially if you were on the precipice of a playoff spot, which they're definitely not going to be now. If there might have been a chance with Gallen at the head of that rotation all year, Madison Bumgarner looking a little bit better. Merrill
Kelly. How's that feel?
He can pitch. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. Stop it. I don't want to hear anything from you.
Yep.
So, I mean, your team's not going to win either. It's going to be the Padres and Dodgers. It's going to be a long year for both of them.
All those postseason innings on Mad Bum's arm for the winning teams. Now you get to use them for the rest of it. So
right, yeah. Thanks for that. So no, anyway,
real quick comment. Not making fun of you anymore. Okay. But the idea that managers are saying they're going to limit his innings now. A lot of managers are saying that for a lot of teams, you can't limit all five pitchers.
Right.
So just realize that. That's why you're saying Gallen's thing. Like, you can't limit all of them.
Right. And then Drew Pomeranz got a little roughed up. Ooh. Looks like he's going to be okay. He's scheduled to pitch, I think, as we're recording this on Friday, you know, yesterday, for those of you that are listening to this. So that looks good. But in the midst of all that, it seems like Emilio Pagan is the guy to own to get the saves in San Diego. So that was a little weird as well. And then the other thing, which isn't a big deal because you weren't drafting them at all anyway, unless you're in a deep AL only league like the one I'm drafting tomorrow night, which is 16 teams AL only. Oh, God rest my soul. Anyway, the Rangers are going to go to three starters and then two tandem starters, which hasn't really been done in baseball well. We've had openers for the Rays. We've had openers for other teams. Usually those come off the heels of an injury for a player. They're not done in a specific rotation outside of what the Rays have done. Now, the Astros screw around with this, I think, at AA like 4 or 5 years ago, where their whole staff, the whole year, they went with tandem starters. 4-4 was the plan. Didn't work out. They obviously scrapped it, but what do you feel about the tandem starters in Texas? How long will this last into the season, do you think?
I'll be nice and say 6 weeks, but okay. It's going to be very difficult because all it takes is one injury to anybody, and right. That's out the way because you only have so many options, like you're saying. It works in the minor leagues because you can just kind of call guys up and down. I remember when Lizardo and Puck were with the Stockton Ports, the A's single A team, they were tandem starters together to limit their innings. I just don't see how long they're going to be, the longevity of it for a Major League Baseball team. I don't count that to happen. Because what happens if, say, the one guy starts, he gets blown up in the first inning? Do you still leave him out there for four innings? Or how's that going to go for you?
How about let's go the other way around. Dane Dunning is in there in his fourth inning. He's got 6 strikeouts, no hits,
yeah.
And he's at 45 pitches. You're taking that guy out? Unless Kevin Cash is your manager, you're probably not taking him out. So, I don't know.
If you want to run an opener, that's fine. Tandem is just a dumb idea.
Yeah, I'm not a tandem guy. I don't understand what's going on with that idea. That to me, it just says we don't have 5 starters that we trust.
Yeah, our team sucks even more than we thought.
Now, getting off of pitchers here, moving to Eloy Jimenez. Speaking of injuries that happened right before the season, hopefully we get some good news on this because this injury happened, I believe, today. We're recording this. So he went up over the wall to try to grab a home run in one of the last games in spring training. Let it go, dude. What are you doing? And he hurt, we think it's his elbow, but I've heard also maybe it's his shoulder that he hurt going over the wall. He walked around for a second, then he fell on his butt, grabbed his arm. The trainers came out and they walked him out of there. So, not a great scenario is all we know about Eloy Jimenez. So drafts this happening this weekend, Bub, if we don't hear much outside of he's still being evaluated going into Saturday, going into Sunday in all of these drafts, what are you doing with Eloy? Are you moving him way down the list? Is he off the list like the pitchers? That's why I asked you the question before. Is it because he's Gallen is a pitcher? I think it's a little different with hitters, but it almost seems like the same kind of situation here.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I hope you have more information before your draft because just scanning Twitter, what it is good for. I've seen hurt shoulder. He's in high spirits to possibly torn labrum in his shoulder. So I've heard there's a whole spectrum on different reports.
Yeah, right, Dr. Now. Twitter is not very accurate.
Some of them are actually like checkmarked people. So I'm sitting there going, these are the reports they're getting. But yes, I agree with what you're saying. So I hope you have a better report come Saturday. because if it's just, you know, bumps and bruises like Tatis has, I'll draft him to where he's going right now. If it's a torn shoulder, he's not on the do not draft list, but he's dropping down to post 175, 200 for me. Like basically you'd be drafting him somewhere where a 25 home run outfielder's at. So right. Put him somewhere there. But I'm hoping it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, fingers crossed for him for sure. The last thing I want to ask you before we got to go to break here is about closers. And, you know, I am a pay up for closers guy. You know, it's specifically this year because it seems like so many of those mid jobs are kind of being kicked around and up in the air. So I'm paying up for him this year, and I pay up for him most years anyway, but this year in particular, I think it's worse than it has been in a while because of 2020, because of the lack of the jobs. We just had Pomeranz get hurt. We figured out Pagan is the guy there. Wickren looks like he might get the saves. Kirby Yates just had TJ. He's done for the year. Are you paying up for saves this year? And if you are, is that different than your yearly strategy? Are you usually a find saves on the waiver guy?
Yes, I'm paying up. My goal is there's like five or six guys like I think are in locked in spots, barring injury. I want to have at least one of those five or six guys, and then I'll fill things in after that. Like I've been on Wickren, I've been on Romano, I've been on Pagan, I've been on a bunch of guys super late taking chances. That's fine. But I want at least one guy because you're going to need about 60 to 70 saves to finish in like the top 60 to 70 percentile in your league. If you can get one of these top guys that gets you 30 to 40 saves, you're way ahead of the game. So give me that. That's usually what I do most years, to be honest. But this year more so, like I have a lot of Raisel Iglesias, a lot of him in drafts right now for that exact reason. And one thing I will say, it's a discussion I've had with like Jeff Erickson from RotoWire and some other people. And if you're like in a 12-team league or something, like not a super, super deep league, then you're like last 4 to 6 picks, grab a bunch of those guys like Wickren and potential closers that within this next week before the season starts, you can find out if they're going to get the job or not. And then you can drop them and replace them with things you can fill your roster up with. But don't put like your seventh outfielder and you'll get a potential closer. So stuff like that.
I got you. Yeah, and that's typically what I like to do. I kind of don't mess around with the middle, especially if I'm on the end. I double tap, then I take a guy in the middle, then I take some shots. So, but we got to take a break. When we come back, we will end the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys do great in your drafts. Draft all the players that you love and none of the players that you hate. For me, which means drafting no Dodgers or Alex Verdugo or any of those guys. So don't like drafting those guys. But Bub, I got to ask you before we go here, who are a couple of your guys that you either have the most shares of or right now you're like, I really want to get this guy because he's affordable or whatever the reason is. I got to have this guy on my roster.
Yeah, if you guys listen to one of the latest Bench with Bubba's, I did my shares column. And one of my most rostered pitchers, I have – well, Lucas Giolito's there, but that's an easy one. If later in drafts, Marcus Stroman. I have a ton of Marcus Stroman developing a new split change. The strikeout rate did go up when he was with New York, and he's going about 2 to 3 rounds later than usual just because he didn't play last season. So I'm not too worried about that with Stroman. I think the ratio floor is pretty solid there, so I'll take that. And if I want to use a bat per se, I have a ton of Gleyber Torres. So,
kind of Gleyber Torres,
which I didn't think I would like, but where he's going in drafts, he's going like round 8.
He and I'm criminal. Part of this. He's the overcorrection from his bad year last year because I took him. I had all the shares of Gleyber last year. He was god awful.
Yeah, he was horrible.
I'm part of the problem there with Gleyber for sure. I'm definitely part of the never again overcorrection.
And that people,
but I thought it was going to be like that with. I thought it was going to be like that with Stanton. And no, I see him going post 100.
You can't quit him.
I can't quit him. I wish I could. I really wish I could, but I just.
But the price is right. It's just, can he play at least 100 games, please?
I mean, just come on, dude. Just get
Carlos Correa with the Welsh or Giancarlo Stanton with you. Who's it gonna be?
Yeah, it's probably Stanton for me, but because I actually have Correa ranked higher than the Welsh does this year. But with that, we got to end it out. So let's wrap it up here. Remember, follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick. Bubba at Is It the Welsh. Like I said before, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We got group me rooms, we got secret shows, we got rankings, we have all kinds of stuff there. You know, if you're LT or higher, you get in the group me rooms, you can shoot Welsh or I a DM whenever you want to ask us a question. We will get back to you ASAP. So please check that out if you would. Enjoy your drafts. Have a great weekend, everyone. We love you, and we will see you next week. Take it easy.